Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Bishop Munib Younan is former bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Jordan and the Holy Land and past president of the Lutheran World Federation. He visits Sioux Falls this week, one of five stops during his tour of ELCA universities around the U.S. Today, we welcome Bishop Younan, along with Augustana campus pastor Paul Rohde, with insight into the visit and the dialogue it seeks to encourage. Bishop, thank you for being here. We appreciate your time.
Well, I am very thankful that I'm invited to Sioux Falls, my first visit to this part of the world.
Pastor Rohde, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you very much.
This has been quite a treat for the community of Augustana and beyond. Tell us a little bit about this visit, please.
We're thrilled to host Bishop Younan. We are making beginning efforts here in our community to stir interfaith understanding and engagement. We've got a good relationship with the Muslim Community Center and a number of Jewish and Hindu folks in the community, and students are very interested in commonalities, especially among the Abrahamic faiths, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And so to have a global voice for whom religious cooperation is a matter of life and death and has worked and traveled all over the world to be with us and give us that global perspective is thrilling.
Yeah, and Bishop, I want to start right with that because some people are feeling hopeless about peace, about having a dialogue at all, about even being able to have a conversation with people of different faith. Where do you begin?
Yeah, I think there are two important things which we have to mention. First of all, we have to seek the common values that we share among all religions. Values of peace, values of justice, living together, and the most important thing is the value of humanity, that we are equal human beings, even if we are different by ethnicity, by gender, by even political positions. So if we lose that commonality which we are seeking, sometimes we are losing our humanity. Secondly, I think it's very important for me, coming from a Christian background and being in dialogue, to see the image of God in the other who is different. So if you have these two premises you can work with, then you can really have your input in interfaith, and the other who is different will trust you. But if you come from up to down, if you try to teach or to convert others into your faith, they won't succeed today. And for me, today is very important in the time where we are finding hatred, and hatred has many faces. It can be expressed in different ways. It's very important today that we show that religions carry the message of acceptance of the other. And not allow fear and hatred to have its own, its own impact in our society, because fear and hatred creates populism, creates hatred, creates anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, xenophobia, whatever you just name them. And all of this, they have different faces, but it's the same coin. For this reason, it's our role in religion to bring another face of religion, which is religion of acceptance, religions of love, religion of working together for the good of humanity.
I have had people come to this show with a copy of the Quran pointing out its evils. I've had people come with a copy of the Bible pointing out the Great Commission, pointing out why we must fight the evil of the other. When people are using scripture and using sacred texts and holy books and whatever the message they say they have to point out why we should exclude somebody, why we should ban somebody, why we would. Where do you begin in dialogue? If you were in that room, what question would you ask them to open that dialogue up?
Well, I think if I'm in that room, I would tell them very clearly that they are perverting religion and perverting the Bible, the Quran, or the Torah, because if you find only, you know, the verses of violence and so on, you can find them, but that's not religion. You know, 138 scholars in 2007 met in Jordan, and they have Muslim scholars from all sectors, and they have come up with a document called the Common Word. And in this Common Word, they have written that the core of religion is loving God and loving your neighbor. I mean, you cannot, claim you can love God, but hate your neighbor. You know, St. John teaches us, if you claim that you love God whom you don't see, but hate your sister and brother whom you see, you are a liar. And I'm afraid there are many liars in our world who are extremists, who are really populists, who want to stir the bowl of fear and hatred. And that's not religion. Religion, whatever it is, it's loving your neighbor who is different. If you love your neighbor, you love God, but not the opposite.
Pastor Rohde, tell me a little bit about efforts at Augustana with students, efforts in Sioux Falls, efforts in South Dakota, based on what you know about a message like this and what where people are hearing it here at home and feeling the tension of it.
We have a group on campus called Better Together that is student-led. And we have a Muslim Student Association because a number of our international students are Muslim. And we send our students to training of the Interfaith Youth Corps in Chicago to learn how to have dialogue with one another and seek understanding and seek the common basis that the bishop is referring to. We visit other places of worship often and invite people of other persuasions in so that we get some practice listening. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is most heartening that I have yet to have an example of a student or myself who has sought dialogue with understanding, who hasn't found their own strength, their own faith strengthened. So we learn more about Jesus, and we notice how many times Jesus encountered foreigners and strangers and others and welcomed them. And we hear the edge of the Good Samaritan story, where the Samaritan was an outsider and not trusted, and yet becomes the hero of Jesus' parable. And I really see that happening among our students, that they come back to the Bible with new questions and new urgency to be a more peace-loving, gracious, human Christian.
Bishop, I'm also hearing in my personal life people who are leaving church behind because of what they see as the perversion of Scripture, their frustration with people who are representing themselves as their own faith, whether that be Islam or Christian, in these cases I'm thinking of. For somebody who comes from a faith tradition but is frustrated to the point of wanting to abandon it because they think this only does damage. Look at the damage that it can do. Mm. What's your message to those people about faith and church and Christianity?
Yeah, and as you are speaking about Christianity, I think I would say in this way, it's not only in the United States, also in my part of the world, in Palestine and in Israel, we have people who want to abandon church because they are disappointed or embarrassed, you know, by the church. The problem which we are facing is that it's very important that the church be an example of love and acceptance. Secondly, there is a problem of the interpretation of the biblical text. And if the interpretation of the biblical text will only guide for certain scenarios in politics, in other issues, then you are missing the point. For me, the Bible, you know, when I read my Bible, I find only Christ and Him crucified. That's what I find. I don't find any hatred. I find that even the church has to be a sacrificial church, or as the ELCA calls it, Evangelical Lutheran Church America today, the church has to be a sanctuary for everyone. We in the church have not only to accept what we call good people, we have to accept every human. We have to be an inclusive church to accept everybody and to hear their point of view, because these people who are leaving the church does not mean they don't believe in God. Maybe they have faith in God, but they want to see a church of Jesus Christ that is carrying the cross and bringing the gospel of love, not the gospel of power, not the cross of our muscles, but the cross that really is sacrificial and the loving God. And I think it's our today pastoral role in the church to seek those who leave the church, not to leave them to go on their own way, and to have discussion and to read the Bible, pray with them, let them see that the church is not your enemy. If there are mistakes in the church, we have to repent. And I'm, as I come from the tradition of Reformation, yes, if the church needs reform, we have to dare to reform it, because if we don't reform it, then the Holy Spirit will reform it in His own way.
Have you seen in your life and in your work, love doing and people giving up fear and having a powerful impact? Tell me a story about what difference it can make beyond words in action.
Well, I think, you know, if I want to tell you some stories, for example, I follow many of the leaders in the world who really, for example, if we take Martin Luther King Jr. with his civil rights, he carried the message of love, the gospel of love, not the gospel of hatred. In Palestinian-Israeli conflict today, where I am working, it's easy for me to hate and want revenge of the other because I lost my land, but I carry a message of nonviolence. Or even saying, you know, as a Palestinian, seeing the image of God in the Israeli who is occupying me. For me, this is my strength, that it is nonviolent, it's loving. Even if I disagree politically with them, and it's my right to disagree, but I will never, you know, I will never give up to see the image of God in my enemy, to see them as human beings who have also the right to live, as I have the right to live equally in this and share the land. And for me, this is very remarkable. It's not for granted. And we are trying in the church, and I'm trying in my work, to teach this non-violence. But not only nonviolence, but also loving, you know, loving the enemy, loving the occupier, not accepting what they do. We cannot accept, you know, the occupation, but at the same time, we can accept their humanity and their rights as I ask for my rights. This is a stronger way. It's a longer way. Violence is much easier, but what the word does not remember the generals. They remember Mother Teresa. They remember Martin Luther King Jr. They remember Mandela. They remember those who carried the message of love to humanity and not the message of hatred. And they won. And for me, even if it takes a long breath, I will continue to work for loving every human being who is different, including non-violent struggle for the right, for my rights and the rights of my people.
You have said, as you've been awarded for your work of peace, that moderates are not wishy-washy.
Yes.
What when people say, "I don't want to be wishy-washy. I don't want to sit here in the middle. I need to, you know, I need a fire. I need a righteous anger." How do you sort of bring them to that place of love when they are fired up, when their rights are being violated, when they feel hopeless, and we have to do something, or else?
Well, you know, this is a wrong, you know, perception of what is a moderate. A moderate is not you know, an is not the opposite of extremist. The opposite, the moderate, which I am calling for, is a robust moderation in our world. The moderate is a person with a message of love, with a message that waves against the waves, that swims against the wave of injustice, of oppression, of hatred, of Islamophobia, of anti-Semitism, of hating the neighbor, the immigrants. That's the message, you see, which is a moderate. And this robust moderation today should be the work of the church and interfaith relations more than dialogue.
Pastor Brody, give us an idea of how people can connect with the bishop during his visit here. We have some events that are coming up. Do you want to lay those out for us?
Thank you. Yes, this evening, Bishop Yunnan and I will both be on a panel at the Muslim Community Center on 3932 Southwestern Avenue here in Sioux Falls. They are hosting us. The imam and their coordinator for interfaith will also speak, and it will be an open discussion about what we can learn from each other and what we can learn about living together peacefully, being advocates for peace. Then tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the Augustana Chapel of Reconciliation, Bishop Yunnan will give up a keynote lecture on building community and the importance of interfaith dialogue, religion being a source of an inspiration for peace.
And this will be, you know, a visit with the bishop resonates for days, weeks, years.
Yes.
It's almost difficult to determine how it might impact a student, a community member, and their thought process down the road.
That is exactly right.
You wrote a book about taking a journey, right?
I did.
You're going to have to come back and talk to me about that, because I bought that book the last time it was at the Augustana bookstore, and I'm very curious to hear more about your thoughts
on journeying
into the world. So,
okay.
Bishop Yunnan, thank you so much for coming to South Dakota and for spending time with us today.
Thank you. And we ask you here in Dakota to pray for us that we may continue in our country to carry the message of love in order that Palestinians and Israelis can have peace and justice and Jerusalem can be shared. I ask you to pray for us, because we need your prayers here in the United States.
Will do. Pastor Brody, thank you as well.
Thank you for having us.